All right, we're here, and it's the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast show.
Yes, are you recording, Jim? Thing.
I'm recording, recording, and everyone's listening. We got this thing live. We're doing this live, Bill O'Reilly style. We're doing it live. Special announcement before we start things off.
Side note, folks.
Yes.
We're not actually doing this live. We're recording it, then editing it, then releasing it. Because listeners might actually be confused by that, because that's a term that we could really mean.
But you and I, we're doing this live. I see you. You see me. We're talking.
Oh, yeah. From our perspective. Airwaves. Yeah. Maybe 300 milliseconds.
And I said latency. We're doing this live.
Right.
I'm not talking about the audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, very excited to announce, folks, that today, David and I have been in negotiations for months.
Aggressive negotiations.
Aggressive negotiations. Lots of money, Twinkies, things back and
negotiations
forth.
Negotiations with a
lawyers
lightsaber.
Lawyers are involved. Yes. And I'm happy to announce that finally David has agreed for Lightest Form of Flogging to go back to being a theology podcast. Yes. All right. Very excited. Very excited. So, you know, without further ado, David and I are going to have an inaugural theological discussion. We're going to discuss a topic. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think the show is going to be better for it moving forward. A lot of our fans have been asking for this, and we have been denying them. But that day has ended, and another has begun, a new dawn on this show, this flogging universe that we have. So David, do you have anything to say before we engage in our discussion?
Just that if you're sitting at home going, this can't be possible, this must be a bit, I can tell you, I am not looking at a script. I mean, I'm looking at a script, but it's for the script that comes later. The main piece. So
yeah.
So listeners, I don't know what you want to do with that, but this is as Jim says, that this is as Jim says.
Okay. I was waiting, like, is he going to have this cute little
I
fun line?
Yeah, I inflected wrong.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and have a discussion. We're going to talk about, what do you want to talk about, David? Do you have anything in mind you want to talk about? A specific specific topic? Or
I was in church on Sunday, and this was Sunday evening, because we get two sermons. Yeah, you feel a little jealous there, Jim?
Hey, I've always wanted to do Sunday night church.
I know. I think
we
most
do Wednesday
people
night
want
stuff.
It. I really do.
I've wanted Sunday night church for years. Ironically, the last time I've had Sunday night church was in a non-denominational Baptist fluffy church. It was weird. I'm like, why do they have Sunday night church here? It's strange.
Don't get me wrong.
I loved it.
There are some Sundays where we're just like, yeah, we need to go to bed early, because we get out at like 6:30, and then you have to go home and have dinner. And we're almost a half hour, depending on traffic. Usually it's more like 20 minutes. But sometimes it's just like, you know, it's been a really long week. I think we're just going to do morning church. There's no obligation to go to evening church, but isn't it great when it's an option? It's great when it's an option.
I would take it. So anyways.
So the sermon was about Matthew 8. And in it, I'm trying to find the exact passage here, Jim. It's been a while since I've done any kind of a theology podcast.
It's great. We're going to read live here. This is great.
So this is the story of the
So David, that's a really good point, but I think we should consider it this way. No. No. No, no. That's not it at all.
I think this isn't even a textual issue. The issue here is just how you choose to translate it. And I mean, obviously I don't know Greek, but I do feel strongly that you don't have to render the way that they've chosen to render it here. The four.
Yes. Okay. All right. You win. Okay. That comment, I think, was a little unnecessary. I don't know why you have to go low right away, but I guess here we are. So in response to that, I say this.
I don't know that it was unnecessary. I mean, if you consider the nature of the covenant and really just the ontological nature of the Trinity, you really have to
That is the most horrible thing you have ever said to me. I cannot believe you just said that.
You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Bible.
Okay, fine. Just you do you.
It clearly says because why?
You know, I don't even know you anymore. Okay, we need to slow down here.
But this is why we need to have children in church, because if you don't, who? That's not
what that means. All right, be honest with me, David. How many Baptists would you hold under the water?
Well, for how long? It isn't.
And all right, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, even though you're wrong on absolutely everything. And I just told you the reasons why.
My thoughts exactly.
Well, all right, folks. I hope you enjoyed that inaugural discussion. Many more to come. I'm very happy that the lightest form of flogging is a theology podcast once again. And we'll all be better for it. So that's a gift from us to you, dear listener. Enjoy.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your co-host, David, who is getting too old for this stuff.
Maybe.
I said stuff.
Okay. All right.
And sitting across the country from me to contractually negotiate at 824 miles is my co-host, Jim, whose whimsy is boundless.
How many times have I heard that? If I had a dime for every time I heard that, I would owe you some money.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Hey, show, we're in it. Glad to have everybody here listening to this show today. This is episode, we're in the 130s. I feel
very
proud of that fact. I announced the episode number, you never do. But
right.
That's because you don't like doing what I want you to do.
It's mostly because you want me to do it.
That's why you don't do it. But hey, that's all right. All right, folks, happy to have you here. Let's go ahead and jump into follow up. We want this to be a fast episode today, so we'll just go ahead and get to it. I have a couple of items. I'm looking at my follow-up items live, Bill O'Reilly style, on our Slack channel. So I'll go ahead and go first. Brad is mad that I make ask a verb. Is that what it is?
A noun, maybe?
Or a noun. I have, like, when I ask you, hey, David, I have just one ask of you, and Brad thought that was weird.
That's a thing. And I hear people do that all the time. Hold up.
I do it all the time. Yeah. I make verbs nouns and nouns verbs. And I do all sorts of things. And I just wanted to mention that.
This is an XKCD too. I'm going to have to include that. Doggone it, Jim. You're making me include more and more XKCDs.
Yes. I have influence over
XKCD,
you.
XKCD, nouning, verbs.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'm going to say that I think as a result of last episode and a previous episode when we talked about talent, I can say that David is very much not a talented photographer, and you have to be okay with hearing that.
Yeah, I'm actually completely fine with hearing that.
Yeah, I know you are. Everyone else would be like, but like David's like, yeah, it's pretty much it.
Okay, so.
But I can't, you know, if someone asks me, hey, is David a talented photographer? What am I going to do? Say no.
Well, they're people use like that word colloquially all the time. And if you understand them to be using it that way, I think it's fine to confirm. And then, you know, lecture for 10 minutes about the distinction between skill and talent.
I would love to do that.
I know.
But basically, so after our discussion about talent, you have moved to my side in no way. Like, you've moved no distance towards me. I mean, normally you don't physically. But
right.
In fact, I'm thinking about away.
This. I did move away.
But have you adjusted your view at all? Like, do you have any sort of positive leanings towards the view of talent? Or is it just like,
this is,
or is it made worse? I don't know.
This is only going to make you mad. Do you want to do this?
Sure.
I think I had very foggy thoughts on it.
What could you say that would make me mad at this point?
I think I had very foggy thoughts on it that disagreed with you. And now I think I have much clearer reasons for disagreeing with you.
Also, if we talked about it again, it would be much, much more pointed and worse.
Well, I would start swearing. Yeah.
Okay, fine. All
right, but I just want to point out, I'm taking your side here, Jim. I'm in your corner. I'm acting as if I have a horse in this fight. Ask under dictionary.com. has a noun usage. It can be a question or an inquiry, or it can be a request. Or it can be a request, especially a demanding one.
Here, hold on, David. I have to yell at my kid.
Jack, why did you do that? You pick all those up. Right now.
Sorry. He just took a shovel full of a bunch of rocks on our playground and just put it, shoved it into the grass or threw it in the grass. And they know they're not supposed to do that. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
a request, especially a demanding one. So according to dictionary.com, that is a usage. Admittedly, it's the last one, but it is still a usage of the word ask as a noun.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, then take that, Brad.
Yeah, Brad. I've got a horse in this fight, too.
Okay.
I always use
you know,
that.
I thought nope. you were going to, I thought your most recent thing, what you're actually going to say something in response to me about talent, but you just completely disregarded it and went back to ask.
No, I was saying something that disagreed with you and strongly. Okay. I mentioned something all about right. swearing if we talked about it again. And then okay. I decided to take it upon myself to be in your corner.
Okay.
And that's where we're at now.
Is this what it feels like to have you in my corner? I feel nothing.
I was aiming for that.
Okay. What? Emotional support from David feels much like a cold embrace.
No, this isn't emotional support. It's like we're on a debate team and I came and sat at your table. You're on the you're on the one AC and I'll be the two AC.
I feel like I'm on a cold gray mountain and the winds of coming chill are sweeping against my face and I feel like lonely and alone and that's what I'm feeling. Anyways, do you have a follow-up point? We have to move this sucker along, my brother.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Jim. Can I do that? Is that okay?
Sure.
Hold on. Let me look at the date.
This isn't like two shows in a row where you have nothing.
No,
is this true?
I listened to our episode on Tuesday, as I was supposed to. And I really don't have anything.
Okay. My next follow-up point is that Ben, our good, close, personal, mutual friend, Ben, although I will say that his wife is a very talented car maker. Very talented. Ben says that I said the shouldn't thing wrong again last episode. And I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yep.
You know... You've listened and you can't hear when I say shouldn't. Maybe I say shouldn't.
Did you just say should it?
Is that it? Is that what
I'm
doing?
I think you dropped the N that last time.
Should it? Should it? Should it? Should it? Should it?
Yeah, maybe. That's a question. That's like, should it? Like if I were to say shouldn't should have an N in it and you said, should it?
Okay, well, folks, I don't know what to say. I keep saying things wrong and Ben is telling me that. And nothing is being done about it. In other words, that's the normal show procedure. So
something is wrong and we're not fixing it.
Yes. Hopefully we'll have him on soon. We haven't had Ben on in a while and he'll explain this to us. We have to have Ben on, but you have to be on too because Ben doesn't want to do a show with me without you.
Yeah. He's kind of afraid of you.
Yeah.
He should be afraid of me, but whatever.
But, you know, it's like, you know, he's not because... He just doesn't recognize the threat. Yeah, is that it?
I can bring in some feedback / follow-up from Slack if you'd like.
Okay. I don't have anything else for me.
I'm going to summarize all of this. Grant says that chamomile is a small daisy flower.
Right.
He also says that there are degrees of photography courses.
Okay.
And that what I was describing was more of an introduction course, and there are a lot more... photography courses you can take after that are more like art courses.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. All I was trying to say is I think while you can get a high degree of value out of like a year of a photography course or a couple years of a photography course, I think that you learn a lot more in 15 years of doing it. And I think that's the case with almost everything.
Sure. I agree with that point.
Let's see here. Oh, David Latchett is listening again and he seems to be caught up.
Very happy.
Yeah.
Yep. Very happy about that. We called him out like, what, two or three times? And
I was
hoping like one day, if he ever listened to him, he would hear those and feel warmth in his heart.
Yeah, he binged the rest and then he messaged me privately to ask about finding like a good Christian counselor because he's feeling really depressed now.
Yeah. Well, he knows better. He's one of our old timers. He knows better than to listen to too much of us at once. That puts you in a bad spot. But hey.
And then he had some helpful things to say on the Slack about copying. I hadn't considered what he said about coding here. He basically said that when you're doing coding, you're tempted often to, or especially when you're learning a new language, you're tempted to Google things and copy and paste the code. But if you write it out yourself, you're going to be a lot more likely to remember and understand what it is you're doing.
But I'm just happy to have him back in our warmth embrace. He is a doctor. That is true. Well, welcome back, Dr. David.
But not the kind that helps people.
Well, that's it. Okay. Unless you have anything more, let's go ahead and move on to our. What?
I'm good.
Okay, great. Okay. Another Flogging Cinematic Universe episode. We are continuing on the saga of Jim and David on the Run. This is episode 3. This is 3, right?
Yes.
This is our third Jim and David on the Run. We're going to see what Jim and David are up to as they escape the hidden threat that is haunting them and following them and trying to shut them down.
Well, previously, we'll
see what our heroes.
Previously on the Flogging Cinematic Universe,
we were kidnapped by Gary from Indiana, just outside my house.
Turns out he's quite evil, Gary.
Yeah.
From Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. On the highway. Yeah. Who knows how long you and I were driving in our road trip?
He's like the Matthew Broderick movie version of Gary Indiana.
Yes. Yes. Oh, wait, no, you're right. You're right. We drove all the way to your house, and then he got us right outside. That's true. All right. Well, let's see what happens. I know I did.
You were there. It happened to you.
It happened to you. I don't remember, and I'm so very sorry. But what I do know is that moving forward, the story shall continue. And let's see what happens. So let's go ahead and roll it.
Bloop, boop.
David.
I'm right here beside you, Jim. Please stop shouting.
What is this?
I can only surmise that it is a potato sack made of burlap, and it is tied around your head. I have one as well.
It itches.
That's your concern?
I think you need to be more supportive right now, okay? We're tied up with sacks around our heads in a cold, dark room.
Clearly you've never been to a Puritan church discipline session.
Can you make your way over to me?
Why?
Why do you think? We need to get out of here. You need to help me with this rope around my wrist.
I don't have to touch you, do I?
I'm about to touch you in the face if you don't get over here.
How would you even... You know what? Fine. Here, hold on.
Someone's coming. Get back to your place. Nope. Now you want me back.
Hello. What a fine morning it is. How are you enjoying your room? I've prepared this place special for you. I hope you like it.
Monster!
Gary, is that you?
It is me, Gary, yes. And you are the treacherous makers of the lightest form of flogging podcast, the worst I have ever heard. Your destructive shows are now over, and the public is now safe from your ramblings. And I will be hero. Now, let's take those sacks off and have conversation.
Wow, my face itches.
Gary, I want to know who you're working for. I find it hard to believe that the U.S. government has put out a kill order on us and went through all the trouble of hunting us down with a team of 9 trained thugs.
Can I get my hands free? My face really itches.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of our predicament, Jim. Will you stop? You can just like move your head and like scratch your beard on your shoulder.
I can't help it if my face itches, okay? I'm a little stressed out, so stop yelling at me.
Goodness. Gary, can you just please free his hands so he can itch his face?
I'm afraid there will be no help for your friend, David.
And what's with your accent? You say you're from Indiana? Do people from Indiana ever itch?
Don't be a bigot, Jim.
Bigot? He's from Indiana. His name's Gary. He has a Russian accent, but he isn't Russian. How is that not weird?
I don't get what you mean here.
Me either.
Oh, for bloody Pete's sake. Will one of you just itch my face?
Here, let me help. Did that help?
Well, actually, it did. Thanks.
Oh, anytime.
Enough of this nonsense. I demand to know who is behind all of this.
Since you are both about to be permanently disappeared, why don't I show you? I've always wanted to be a part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Bring in the boss. The prisoners wish to see who has brought all of this misery and pain upon them. No, I don't want any pickles on mine. No, no pickles. I said zero pickles. No pickles. No, I will deal with you later. Bring in the boss.
Greetings, Jim and David. My, what a sorry state I am finding you both in.
Bill? What are you doing here?
I have come to reveal my intentions to you. I am behind all of your pain and misery. It is I who brought you down and captured you. And now the world will be spared from your show. Your awful, no good, rotten show.
How is this possible? Will you stop doing that? Let me do the talking. Bill, why?
Why? I will tell you. You may not remember it, but a long, long time ago, I had my own show called Ask Bill Anything. It was almost as popular as James Moeller's show, The Briefing.
I know that one.
I had it all. My wife, my son, a successful pallet business, and a great podcast. But you too. You two started a podcast as well and had many thousands of listeners, advertisers, a Patreon, and everything. I became jealous of you. But one day, I said something about a lobster bisque that was incorrect. You found out about it, David, and humiliated me in front of your audience on a Super Gnaw segment. I was crushed, humiliated, torn down. And for what? A cheap joke? A cheap thrill on your podcast at my expense? I was wrong about the bisque. I can see that now. I know this now. I can see that I was wrong. But at what cost? My reputation? My listenership plummeted. I lost everything. My wife started drinking nitrate, and I started to get this rash.
Oh, don't show us that. That's too much information.
I traveled back in time to make things right. I infiltrated your show, and I destroyed what I could in any way that I could. I made horrible edits to make you both sound very stupid. I sent nasty letters to your fans. I did it all. It was me. And then the day came for me to take everything from you. And I did. And here you are, on your knees, with everything taken away. I win, Jim and David. I win.
Wow. All this time, it was a ploy to destroy us?
I thought better of you, Bill.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt. I have your food here, sir.
Wait, is that the Arby's guy, David?
How would I know? He was on the other side of a drive-thru.
Thank you, Tim. Tim, I told you, no pickles!
I thought you said you wanted pickles.
I said no pickles, you impossible person!
I don't need to be treated like this. I'm gonna go to HR.
You will not! I have 3 write-ups this month. Another one, and I will be terminated.
Now, boys, enough fighting. Let's go to HR together, and we will figure this out. Jim and David will wait here until we get back.
Gary's mean. He's never nice to me, ever.
So it was Bill, the whole time. How did we not see this?
Hasinger all along. I don't know. More importantly, we have to figure out a way to get out of here.
What's that?
Is someone knocking?
I don't know. It sounds like...
Morse code. I think it's STANDBAC. Either K or 7. I think it's stand back. Stand back.
Get up, the both of you. Don't you know a rescue when you see one? Martin Lloyd-Jones!
How did you find us?
Get your Presbyterian behind off the ground and let's get out of here. We don't have a lot of time and I have things to do. Stand still and turn around. Follow me. Stay close. And don't screw this up. Oh, they are coming. Let's go.
I can't believe we're being rescued by the real Martin Lloyd-Jones. I think I'm feeling something in my gut. This... I might even respect this guy now.
You didn't before? I always knew he was capable of this.
I mean, I knew he could bolt things to the floor.
Quiet! I have a plane waiting in a nearby cornfield, 9 blocks away. If we are quiet, we can make it.
Where are you taking us?
To the only thing that can save you now. The only thing that can save everyone in the flogging cinematic universe. Everything you have created on this show that you hold so dear. The most unique Christian podcast to come around in some time is worth saving, boys.
It is?
But where are you taking us? I'm taking you back to your house, Jim.
No, you're taking us back to where they found us? Why would you do that?
No, relax, David. I think Martin Lloyd-Jones is right. The closer we are to danger, the farther we are from harm.
That doesn't sound right to me. But then, you are very large. Perhaps you're right.
Thankfully, they brought you to Seattle. This flight will hardly take any time at all.
I've always liked traveling east. Somehow, it always feels like becoming more conservative.